I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So the NCAA, and Calipari was funny in the little clip we just played, NCAA bringing in USA Today or USA Basketball without bothering to ask USA Basketball about it. We're going to ask USA Today about it. He's Dan Wolkin. He covers college sports for USA Today, and he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
What's happening?
We're still trying to figure out exactly what it was the NCAA threw out there yesterday and what it might eventually mean. You've probably been sorting this out like crazy. What were your thoughts of what they're proposing and what they want to do?
Well, the only real action they took that is going to have significant consequences that people are going to notice is with the infractions and the enforcement side. That was actually a very significant and major change to the way they've done business for quite a long time. And the problem with that is that most people don't really care. I mean, they either, you know, get outraged if their school gets put on probation or gets a postseason ban or their rival that didn't get punished harsh enough or whatever it is. That's kind of the extent that most people really think about the enforcement system. And so for people like me, the nitty-gritty of it is fascinating, but that's a huge difference. The other stuff, honestly, I think is mostly the NCAA appearing to do something significant that doesn't really move the needle at all, given the problems that they face with the basketball stuff. But it was good headlines for them, and that's what they wanted, and you had to really sort of dig deep to get the truth of it.
It was weird because when we first started reading, we're like, yeah, this isn't a bad deal. You're going to let kids get agents and you're not going to make a big deal about it. And then you're going to let them come back if they don't get drafted. I mean, we looked at this yesterday. I was like, oh, this is a good idea. And then you start reading and you're like, why don't they just put a provision in there and say, okay, you can cut these kids a check and let's just pay them. That would have been the nice one, right?
Right. So nothing they did yesterday, I would say, is bad. Nothing's destructive. A lot of these ideas are good ideas in a vacuum, but the truth is the NCAA has a problem, and its problem is amateurism. And most of the issues that get discovered in terms of cheating, whether it's this FBI or a lot of stuff in football, it all comes down to the fact that these athletes have a market value, and they're not allowed to capitalize on that market value because of the NCAA's insistence that they are a, quote, amateur organization. And a lot of these rules and all the hand-wringing and things that we talk about that to create some sort of change within the system, you could really eliminate all of it, or most of it, by going to this Olympic model where, you know, if you are a high-profile football player, high-profile basketball player, you have an opportunity to go make money being the spokesman for whatever local restaurant chain or a car dealer or whomever, have at it. That would eliminate all this other stuff, but the NCAA doesn't want to do that at this point, so we're left trying to create more rules.
Dan Wolkin joining us, covers college football, basketball, national columnist for USA Today. Dan, should the NCAA work more closely with, say, Major League Baseball, and more in particular, the NBA, the NFL, when it comes to how to deal with players and ultimately becoming professionals?
Well, I mean, look, the problem is they have two different missions, right? If you're the NBA, if you're the NFL, you're a professional sports organization, and frankly, you like the NCAA because the NCAA provides you with a high-profile opportunity to groom and to scout your next generation of players. And so it lets the NBA and lets the NFL off the hook of having a legitimate developmental system for the top, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds who are not quite ready to play in their leagues. So that's sort of the truth of all this is it's good for the NBA and the NFL that they don't have to deal with a lot of this stuff. But with the NCAA, there's very simple things like the one and done rule, which they claim they want to get rid of, but the NCAA doesn't have control over that. That's an NBA rule. So there's a lot of sort of cross purposes when you're dealing with these organizations that make it hard for them to work together on some very basic things.
I'm looking through some of these other things that are going through, and I do think that the NCAA is like, what is their relationship with USA Basketball? Can you expect USA Basketball, Jeff was saying before, to, you know, look at guys in high school and determine that they're the top guys and they should be able to have agents and who shouldn't be able to have agents and, only guys that get invited to the NBA Combine can come back, or is it everybody can come back if they declare themselves eligible? I still think there's a lot of gray area about trying to use other entities out there to help the NCAA. And it's just, you need a lot of synergy to make that happen.
Right. Well, so in my perfect world of basketball, I would have the NCAA, the NBA, and USA Basketball all work together to sort of determine what tiers players fall into. And you're right. I mean, that's going to take a level of cooperation and coordination that they currently don't have, and frankly would take a lot of time to sort out exactly how it would work. But you look at other countries and how they develop for soccer. I mean, you could have a system like that for basketball, where your players sort of start in one area based on their ability and the talent level, and then if you're at one certain elite level, you get a training and development that sort of puts you on track to the NBA. If you're at the next level, then you're going to try to go to college basketball and try to prove yourself there and try to improve there. But it doesn't work like that. And so in the absence over the years, in the absence of any sort of real leadership on that, it's the shoe companies that have taken control of it all. And so it's a little bit of a mishmash of agendas, and it's left everybody in a worse place. But I don't know that what they've announced is really going to move the needle unless there's a far greater level of cooperation than we've seen so far.
Dan Wilkin joining us, USA Today, national columnist, covers college sports. I find it interesting. You tell me, Dan, you have a better perspective than I do. Has one and done hurt college basketball as much as I feel it has and others feel it has? The thing that makes it tough for me, it's tough to follow a college team anymore. You know, you can follow a school, but you don't have the ability to follow a team for a number of years, unless it's somebody like Butler, you know, that keeps kids together and you're able to follow a team. Whereas back in the day, you know, Phi Slamma Jamma, North Carolina State teams, whatever you want to do, you were able to follow some teams for a number of years and see some carryover with the top players. Has it been as bad as I think it is as far as hurting that sport?
Well, certainly the interest in college basketball has gone down. It's now really a six-week sport. It's going into the NCAA tournament and then the 3 weeks of the NCAA tournament. It's really the only time that the general public cares about college basketball in America. Now, there's obviously exceptions. You know, your Kentuckys and your North Carolinas and a few places where it matters year-round. But it's a big problem. And is some of that tied to players cycling in and out so quickly? I think there's something to be said for that. You had empty seats at Kentucky last year. And I think John Calipari and the program he's built there, it's so reliant on one-and-dones, it's definitely made it harder for people to fall in love with a particular team because they come and go so quickly. On the other hand, the actual numbers of kids who are one-and-done is quite small. I mean, it's a dozen kids a year. Really. And so college basketball has got so many other players. There are 4-year players, there are 3-year players, and those are typically your All-Americans. You look at the teams that have really competed for national championships the last few years, they've been older teams with veteran guys. So I don't know that I buy that one and done has hurt college basketball as much as maybe you do. But I don't really think that we're ever going to go back to a time where someone like Hakeem Olajuwon spent 3 years in college.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Dan, thank you very much for the insight. We appreciate it, and it's very helpful. You can follow Dan on Twitter, at Dan Wolken. It's DanWolken, national columnist from USA Today. Dan, thank you, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Wolken joining us right there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Jeff, if you're trying, and the more I started thinking about this last night, too, this could be, I don't want to.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.